This conversation will be recorded.
The lines are open. You may start.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you. On behalf of IIS, I would like to welcome you to this public background session on the public consultation package on the revised ICPs and ComFrame specific material. My name is Urs Halbeisen and I am the Vice Chair of the IIS Financial Stability and Technical Committee. This is the first of two calls which shall provide you with background information on the consultation package and shall give you the opportunity to ask questions. In order to limit the length of the call and in order to respect people dialing in from different time zones, we have split the background session on the consultation package in two calls. The second call will take place next Monday, 20th of March, also from 2 to 4 p.m. Central European time zone. With these two calls, IIS underlines its commitment to an open and transparent standard setting process. I would like now to turn to the presentation which has been uploaded yesterday to the IIS website. You may have or you will find the presentation on the IIS website under events and then stakeholder meetings. And now going to page 2 of this presentation, there you will find the agenda of today's call. In order to enable you to ask questions specific to the topics presented, we have structured the agenda with 3 Q&A sessions. We are starting off with general information and then going to the introduction to the ICPs and ComFrame as well as the assessment methodology. And after that, we will have our first question and answer session. Then we are turning to supervisor and supervisory measures, which includes the revised ICPs 9 and 10, as well as the ComFrame material integrated within those ICPs. And then we have an additional second question and answer session focusing on this supervisory and supervisory measure topic. And then we have finally the supervisory cooperation and coordination, which is dealt with in revised ICP 3 and 25, and with ComFrame text integrated in ICP 25. And following that, we have then the final question and answer session dealing with the supervisory cooperation and coordination. Starting now with the general information, I'm now turning to slide 4. On 3rd March 2017, the IIS launched 2 important consultations to seek feedback from stakeholders worldwide. First, the revised ICPs and ComFrame material integrated with ICPs, which was published for the first time for 90-day consultation period and comments due by 1st of June 2017. And second, the application paper on group corporate governance for 30-day consultation period and comments due by 3rd of April 2017. The package of revised ICPs and ComFrame material covers the following material organized according to the thematic approach. First, the introduction to ICPs and ComFrame and the assessment methodology. Second, the theme of supervisor and supervisory measures. which includes the revised ICP 9, supervisory review and reporting, as well as revised ICP 10, its preventive measures, corrective measures, and sanction, as well as ComFrame-specific material integrated with ICP 9 and ICP 10. With ICP 10 and 11, and 11 is the existing 11 enforcement, which is combined into one ICP, ICP 10. So the old ICP 9 and 10 are combined in a new, old 10 and 11 are combined in a new ICP 10. ICP 10 now also includes some text on recovery. The third theme is on supervisory cooperation and coordination. It includes revised ICP 3, information sharing and confidentiality requirements, as well as revised ICP 25, supervisory cooperation and coordination, and ComFrame specific material integrated with the ICP 25. The theme of governance is then the fourth topic, which includes ComFrame-specific material integrated with ICP 5, suitability of persons, ICP 7, corporate governance, and ICP 8, risk management and internal controls. And lastly, we have the theme of resolution, which consists of the revised ICP 12, that's the exit from the market and resolution, and ComFrame material integrated with ICP 12. Which is the old ComFrame Module 3, Element 3. It is important to mention that the current ICP 26, Cross-Border Cooperation and Coordination and Crisis Management, has been restructured, and consequently, part of it has been moved to ICP 25 and the rest to ICP 12. During the session today, we will present and discuss the following part of the package. First, the introduction to ICPs and ComFrame assessment methodology. Then, as explained at the beginning, the theme of supervisory measure, revised ICP 9, revised ICP 10, as well as ComFrame specific material integrated with ICP 9 and ICP 10. And third, the theme of supervisory cooperation and coordination, revised ICP 3, as well as revised ICP 25, and ComFrame specific material integrated with ICP 25. During the call on 20th of March, the following documents will be presented: the theme of governance, ComFrame specific material integrated with ICP 5, 7, and 8, then the application paper on group corporate governance, and the theme of resolution, revised ICP 12 and ComFrame material integrated with ICP 12. The purpose of this background session is to provide you with background information on the documents specified here and mentioned, then outline how the project has progressed and highlight key aspects in the material that is being presented for consultation. Third, to describe specific issue for which the IES is seeking targeted input. And finally, then answer any questions from stakeholders that are related to the consultation. For these calls, I'm joined with the chairs of two working groups of the IES, spent enormous time developing these revised ICPs and the ComFrame material and integrated the ComFrame text into the ICPs. And that is the chair of the Supervisory Material Review Task Force, Ryan Workman, who will present the introduction to the ICPs and ComFrame and the assessment methodology, and the revised, as well as the revised ICP 9 and revised ICP 10. And Dan is also the chair of the IES Insurance Groups Working Group, Tom Crossland, who will present the ComFrame specific material integrated with ICP 9 and 10, as well as presenting the revised ICP 3, revised ICP-25 and conference-specific material integrated with ICP-25. Turning now to slide 5. For readability, the revised ICP are presented only in clean version. It needs to be highlighted that in most cases, the redline versions would not be readable because of shifting of the text to different places. In many cases, the concept was kept, but the language was simplified or clarified. As regards ComFrame, a comparison table between the 2014 version and the current text has been published in order to allow for better understanding of the changes made since the IES published a draft of ComFrame in September 2014. There were a few small errors in this comparison table, so that was the reason why a updated table was published on 9th of March, but there are really minor references which have changed. The IES decided to extend the consultation period for revised ICPs and ComFrame material integrated within ICPs to 90 days instead of 60 days as originally planned. The decision was based on the fact that the volume of the consultation package is significant, and the ComFrame material integrated with ICPs is released for the first time. However, it's fair to say that the ComFrame text has been shortened significantly. And this has two reasons. First is the elimination of duplication. The old ComFrame text contained several repetition of ICPs for a better understanding of the ComFrame text. And because now the ComFrame is integrating ICPs, that doesn't need to be written twice. And the second point is that several of the ICPs have been revised since the development of the start of the ComFrame in 2010, which means that certain requirements which were not been before in the ICPs are and therefore has been covered in the ComFrame, has now been integrated in the ICPs and do not need to be repeated in ComFrame. Additionally, based on a need to prioritize and preserve resources, the IES decided to no longer field test qualitative requirements of ComFrame, but instead to amend the public consultation process to include qualitative field testing related questions to IAG volunteers and supervisors for ComFrame-specific material, which was not subject to qualitative field testing in the past. And that's especially in relation to the supervisor and supervisory measures, the only ComFrame material integrated with ICP 9 and 10, as well as supervisory cooperation and coordination, and the ComFrame material integrated with ICP-25 and resolution ComFrame material integrated with ICP-12. This means that qualitative field testing of ComFrame specific material will not be performed as a separate exercise anymore. Answers to qualitative field testing related questions should not contain market sensitive information that would be subject to the field testing confidentiality restrictions. As a result, the analysis of answers to the ComFrame-specific questions will not be restricted to the BIS bubble. It will be possible to provide all comments received to the relevant working groups members so the answers can be analyzed outside Basel. As for all public consultations, stakeholders are able to choose between two options. First, their comments can be made publicly available, which means published on a website in the table with other comments, received and resolution of all comments. Or second, their comments cannot be made publicly available. This process is unchanged to prior public consultation. We are now turning to slide 6, and I would like to turn over to Ryan Workman, Chair of the Supervisory Material Review Task Force. Ryan, please.
Thank you, Urs. So I'll be picking up at slide six, which talks about more about the integration of ConFrame into the ICPs. So back in 2016, the FSTC had decided to integrate ConFrame-specific material into the ICP text. And as Urs mentioned, the idea here is to help eliminate a lot of the overlaps and reduce some of the text to the extent possible. That was simply there for context, but now this new integrated approach should more clearly show how ConFrame builds onto the ICPs. So gone now is the tabular format of ConFrame, all but the boxes, and it's been moved now into more of a narrative format similar to the way the ICPs are drafted and presented. And likewise, the numbering of ConFrame has changed. So since there are no longer the elements, I can't even remember the other ones, that numbering has all moved into more of a sort of an ICP-like numbering system that you'll see as it's within the individual ICPs. So once ConFrame is finally finished, there will be integrated into an IT tool similar to what we have for the ICPs already. This will allow users to access either the ICPs by themselves or ConFrame by itself or have it all together. So you can see how ConFrame builds upon the ICPs and how they interrelate. If you do look at ConFrame by itself, the user will, however, miss out on that having that background with the ICPs if it's looked at on a standalone basis. So as part of the integration, formerly we used to have ConFrame standards and parameters. These have now been merged into simply standards and guidance. This allows the ConFrame requirements to be more clear as far as what is a requirement and makes ConFrame more consistent with the ICP structure. So as part of that process, the individual working groups were asked to look at the parameters and decide whether or not they should be more suited as standard material or would be better as guidance. So the ConFrame standards, as you can see in the introduction, to ConFrame, which is part of this consultation. The definition of ConFrame standards is that it's the highest level of ConFrame hierarchy, which builds on specific ICP principle statements and or ICP standards. And ConFrame standards are outcomes-focused specific requirements for supervisors. As I mentioned, we used to have ConFrame guidelines, but now those have been renamed to ConFrame guidance, so that's consistent with the ICPs as well. Finally, there is the third level of IIS standard setting material, which is the GSI policy measures. So far, those are significantly different format and structure from the ICPs and now ConFrame, and how to revise or reformat that material will be considered a later stage after ConFrame is adopted in 2019 and the implementation of the ICPs and IIS standards and guidance. But that will also follow the thematic approach. So turning now to slide seven. When the ICPs were adopted back in 2011, the idea was that they would be ready for implementation as soon as they were adopted. In 2013, the IIS adopted a more comprehensive program to review and revise the ICPs as part of a feedback loop between the standard setting and the standard implementation process, which could also help better reflect developments in supervision and market developments since the ICPs were adopted. So when and any time there have been adoption of new ICPs, they followed the approach back in 2011 that there was no phase-in or delay, that they were simply implemented once adopted. So as the IIS has now moved to this thematic approach for the development and review of its standard setting material, the idea was to reconsider the date for the adoption of ICPs, which served as a foundation for ConFrame material. So at its meeting in November in Asuncion, the executive committee had agreed that the ICPs related to ConFrame specific material, that those ICPs will generally not be adopted by the AGM until 2019, along with the adoption of the Confrain material. There would, however, any ICPs that are not related to Confrain material would be able to be adopted at that, once finalized, assuming that the group who's responsible for those ICPs makes that suggestion or request. So ICP revisions completed prior to 2019, but not adopted by the AGM will be made available on the AIS website with an appropriate caveat that they are drafts endorsed by the executive committee that have been released for information purposes, but are subject to potential changes before their adoption in 2019 by the AGM. And again, there will be an explanation provided once these are made available. So the revised draft ICPs endorsed by executive committee may be subject to further changes as the Confrain material further develops and is revised. So that's kind of why this idea of deferring the implementation and adoption so that everything can be kind of in one nice clean package in 2019. So the intention is to treat these drafts, not to treat them as a basis for assessment purposes. Again, they would be anything that's finished prior to 2019 but not adopted would be out there for informational purposes only, without an expectation for their immediate implementation, which again is kind of a change in approach from prior years and adoptions of ICPs in the past. So that kind of summarizes finalizes the introduction to the overall process. So let me now move on to the presentation of the ICP introduction, the Confrain and ICP introduction, as well as the assessment methodology. So just picking up on slide 9. So what this document contains is two sections. There's section A, which is the introduction, which includes both the introduction for the ICPs as well as a new introduction for Confrain, and section B, which is the assessment methodology. And this is a similar structure to what is the current introduction and assessment methodology that's adopted now. So the goal in revising the introduction was to provide a better explanation and kind of help clarify and be a bit more concise about what the ICPs are and how they should be read. Same thing with Confrain. Revising the ICP assessment methodology explains how the ICPs can be used to be assessed in a jurisdiction's level of observance of the ICPs. A lot of the existing material with respect to the ICP introduction and assessment methodology was simply rearranged or reordered to provide a bit more logical flow or to provide some more clarity and consistency. There's maybe some material that was deleted, but it was simply because it was not necessary. It seemed a bit duplicative of what was already there or is addressed in more appropriately in specific ICPs. So looking at the introduction to the ICPs, so you have a few paragraphs to talk about just the ICPs in general. And then there's a couple of paragraphs to talk about how the ICPs are structured and how we classify principal statements, standards, and guidance, and provide a bit of explanation about their status as requirements. So then after that, we have a section now on overarching concepts. And most of these were already in the existing introduction, but we thought it was more helpful to structure them as these overarching concepts because they are very key to being able to understand and read and implement the ICPs. So first, there's some description on applicability, how the IP applies to insurers and reinsurers and intermediaries. Then there's a couple paragraphs on proportionality and risk-based supervision. These obviously reinforce that that proportionality applies to all the ICPs, and that proportionality is kind of a two-sided aspects. There's the implementation side and the application, which is necessary to implement and apply the ICPs in individual jurisdictions based on their specific circumstances. So finally, we have a section on terminology. These are a number of terms and how they're used throughout the ICP, such as supervisor, supervision, policyholder, legislation, and so on. Additionally, there is some description on group-wide supervision. Again, this is existing text in the current introduction, but this is a subsection that helps better explain the distinctions between direct and indirect supervisory approaches to group-wide supervision. And that is pretty much the introduction for the ICPs. So after that, there's the blue box, which all the ComFrame material integrated into the ICPs appears in. So this ComFrame introduction was crafted from what were the introductory remarks in the 2014 draft version of ComFrame. It was revised to get rid of wording that wasn't really relevant for introductory purposes. A lot of the material in that document was somewhat tied to the consultation process back in 2014. And again, it follows a similar structure to what is done for the ICP introduction. So that covers the introductory material. Although moving on to slide 10, let me just maybe speak a bit more towards the proportionality principle. As we, you know, DIAS does realize how important this is to reading the ICPs and being able to implement and apply them in individual jurisdictions. So we wanted to reinforce this, but at the same time not go overboard as the SMRTF revised this material. It grew and shrank in length. Sometimes it got a bit too long and more confusing. So what's in here now, we thought is a good length to explain what we mean, but not get too confusing. But again, so to reinforce the ideas that there's kind of two sides, the implementation and the application side, and the jurisdictions have to tailor these things to their circumstances in order to get the outcomes intended by each ICP and standard. So we've also, as part of the revision process, provided guidance to all the working parties that they need to think more about the using the terms of proportionality or just the phrase nature, scale, and complexity, and to not simply rely on those to help convey what the idea of proportionality means, but to better explain it through guidance. So I think while people might think that if those terms are deleted, it's not because they're not true or they're not important, but it's rather that sometimes it doesn't really add anything, and we'd rather have people provide better explanation through guidance than rely on those kind of buzzword expressions that aren't necessarily helpful in all cases. So now turning to the assessment methodology, again, this wasn't much change here in the substance. We made a lot of editorial changes just to help clarify and, again, have more consistent text, and reordered the paragraphs to help delete a fair degree of duplication that was there. And we also have moved around what were the preconditions, because there was a bit of confusion in it, how those were placed and how they were read and what their role was in an assessment process. So what we currently have will be out there, although there is ongoing discussions going on at the IIS as well as with the other standard-setting bodies about the categories that are used for assessments, so the observed, largely observed, partly observed, and whether or not there's a better way to classify those. But discussions like that are ongoing and require much more coordination, so if there are any changes in the future, this would be revised accordingly. So let me, I guess I'll turn it back over to Urs and pause here. I think we've come to the end of our first section to see if we have, I guess, questions and answers on any of the material presented so far.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ryan, for your presentation. And I would like to ask the operator if we have already any questions to the introduction and to the specific text in ICP ComFrame, which Ryan just explained.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have now the opportunity to ask questions. If you have any questions, please press *14, and we have our first question. Go ahead.
Hello, Dave Snyder, Property Casualty Insurers Association of America. Thank you very much for this briefing this morning. A couple questions. First of all, a general question. How will we know what the changes are to the ICPs in the various ICPs that we have, both those discussed today as well as those discussed on this coming Monday? And secondly, under public infrastructure, under the introduction, there isn't much mention of regulatory transparency, and so we'll probably be submitting some comments on that. But let me go back to the general question. In reviewing all of this material, how do we know what changes have been made to the ICPs? Thank you very much again for this briefing.
Thank you very much, Dave, for your question. And you have mentioned that the changes to ICPs. I'm not sure if you also mentioned the com frame. So let me please cover both. You have the ICP texts, and here there is actually not too much who changed in many parts of the ICPs. It's much a reordering and just maybe a little bit changing the language, making a better flow of it. But I'm afraid that you have to compare it with the existing ICP text, which you will find on our website. There is one exception of the changes is certainly ICP 12, but that we will cover on the call on Monday. And then in respect to ComFrame, here the changes are more significant, but as I explained at the beginning, the changes are more related because of the integration of the ComFrame text into the ICPs. Further, as an assistance, you will find also within the documents provided for the consultation a comparison of the 2014 published ComFrame text with the ComFrame text, which has been now integrated into the ICP. With that, we hope to assist all interested parties as best as possible, but in the respect of the ICPs, I think you have to read both the old and the new text. Not sure, Ryan, if you would like to add something on the question in respect of the public infrastructure in the introduction.
Sure. So I think there was probably a sentence or a brief mention about that in the current introduction, and that might have been some of the material that, as I mentioned, is addressed by specific ICPs, so we figured it's better to cover there more thoroughly than just kind of a passing mention. So I can say that the SMRTF is in the process of revising ICPs 1 and 2, and as part of the revisions to ICP 2, we are focusing and trying to better articulate the expectations on supervisory accountability and transparency and due process and those things. So but that idea is not going away. It's just being put into a different location where someplace that makes more sense to dive more into that topic. So you'll see that in the near future.
Okay, we have one next question. Your line is open. You can go ahead.
Thank you. This is Bernie Birnbaum with the Center for Economic Justice, a consumer organization. I have one comment and three questions. The comment is that you, according to your description, you permit stakeholders to submit comments confidentially that aren't available to the public for review. That's a significant blow to transparency. If you receive a confidential comment and a decision is made on the basis of that, there's no accountability to the public because the public hasn't seen it and you haven't disclosed the basis for your decision making. So we would urge you to revise that procedure, let people know that all comments are public, and have stakeholders submit comments appropriately. So on to my questions. How much of the changes are simply reorganizing versus substantive change? And is there a tool to identify substantive changes as opposed to simply reordering, moving, non-substantive rewording? That's question one.
Shall we just respond to first question, or would you like to pose all questions you have?
I'd like to pose a question and get an answer, and then pose my second question and get an answer, and then my third and get an answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. And we also noted your comment. However, we are just following the IES policies as they are currently are. Now, in terms of the comparison of the old and new text and what is substantive and what is non-substantive, I have to actually give you a similar response that I just mentioned for Dave Snyder. The only thing what I can maybe hint you to is also the text which is on the website explaining a little bit of the changes, what we have done. Out of that, you can see where we have done substantive changes and where we only actually have moved text or changed the language. And it also has to be fair to say that certain numberings also have changed slightly, and of course, especially because of the comframe text. So from that perspective, if you compare the texts of the ICPs, old and new, you should easily find what has changed here, with, as I said before, with the exception of ICP-12, which there we are talking about next Monday, but they used to have only two standards and was limited to legal entities, and which is now a comprehensive ICP standards applying both to legal entity and on a group-wide basis.
Thank you. So I would note that it then becomes an interpretation on the part of stakeholders as to what is or is not substantive change. No indication on the part of the IAS on which of the changes are intended to be substantive and which are not. My next question, in your questions for stakeholders, they simply ask for comments on each of the paragraphs in each of the consultation documents. So my question is everything in all of these materials subject to revisions based on stakeholder comments, everything, whether it was changed or not?
I think you are free to provide any comments independently if it has been changed or not. However, of course, if something has not changed, the hurdle then to take it up, I would think, is higher than if something which we have changed or is new and you disagree, then maybe we have a discussion about that and think about hard if what we are going to do. However, if it has been a Greek text in the past, then I think we tend not to reopen actually discussions which we already had in the past.
Okay, thank you. Let me follow up on that. If I understand your response, if the text hasn't changed, then it's unlikely that you will consider a proposal to change existing text that hasn't been changed. You indicate a higher hurdle for things that have already been settled. So,
correct.
Okay, so our comments should focus on only those items that have changed to be effective in our comments. Is that correct?
To be, To be effective, yes, but I would say less. We would take less of them on board. But still, if there is something in the existing ICPs which we haven't changed and you really completely disagree out of good reasons, yes, of course, we will consider that.
Thank you. Last question. Are you looking for comments on how the material should be organized, comments on where material should be placed, as opposed to the substance of the material? Are you looking for those types of comments also?
Yes, we do. We have tried actually to move certain standards and guidance a little bit around to achieve a better flow of the text. However, maybe we have not done that completely, or we have done it wrongly. So any hints towards that are welcome.
Thank you.
At the moment, I have no other questions. For any questions, please press *14. No questions, no comments.
Okay, then I think we are continuing. And as I think, as always, we can, of course, have then at the last Q&A session taking maybe overarching questions again if somebody has such a question. So with that, I would like actually then to continue with the presentation, and we are going to supervisor and supervisory measures. I would like to turn it back to Ryan Workman.
Thanks, Thurs. So turning now to slide 13, again, these are this is the material that we have as part of the supervisory measures section. So that includes ICP-9 on supervisory review and reporting, ICP-10 on preventive and corrective measures and sanctions, as well as the confrey material that's been integrated into those ICPs. So, you know, as Thurs had mentioned, a lot of the changes to the ICPs, especially 9 and 10, were more to provide consistency in language and terminology, as well as a better structure. That's particularly true for 10, which is now a combination of what is currently ICPs 10 and 11. What we also tried to do is make the principal statements and standards a bit more outcomes-based, to try to make the wording a bit more active and reflect on what the outcome is to be achieved, rather than kind of just a process or an activity. Which hopefully results in standards that are more easy to understand and implement and assess. And also try to hopefully look at the principles and standards as well as the guidance to reinforce proportion application and implementation. So moving on to slide 14, talk about what's changed in ICP-9 or what the revisions focused on. So what ICP-9 tries to do is set out the general process and procedures for supervisory review and reporting. This includes both the off-site monitoring and on-site inspection by the supervisor. The principal statement sets out that the supervisor uses off-site and on-site off-site monitoring and on-site inspections to examine the business of each insurer, to evaluate its financial condition, conduct of business, corporate governance framework, and overall risk profile, and to assess its compliance with relevant legislation and supervisory requirements. There is also part of the principal statement that the supervisor obtains information to conduct effective supervision of insurers and to evaluate the market. So in specific ICPs and some of the standards, there's additional requirements and assessments that can be provided for specific areas. So as I said before, the ICP-9, the purpose of it is to kind of set out the process, but then you look to the other ICPs to go into the more detail about what the supervisor would look at when reviewing and assessing, say, corporate governance or solvency or conduct of business. So moving on to slide 15, there are now 7 standards under ICP-9. The first one talks about the general framework for review and reporting. 9.2 is about supervisory plans that are part of that framework. And I believe in the current version of ICP-9, the terminology about the framework and plans and things like that got a bit confusing. So one of the things we tried to do with the new standards 9.1 and 9.2 is to provide a better explanation of how these concepts work and to cut back a bit on that to avoid confusion. Standard 9.3 is on outsourcing, so how the supervisor assesses outsource activities or functions of the insurer. 9.4 provides requirements on regular reporting of both qualitative and quantitative information. 9.5 is about the offsite monitoring process that's done on an ongoing basis and how it uses supervisory reports and other relevant information. 9.6 focuses on the on-site inspection process. And finally, 9.7 is about the kind of feedback loop that this whole process provides of supervisory findings and review and taking any measures if necessary, which then kind of helps set up for the next ICP, which is ICP-10. So as far as any other major changes to the standards themselves, I think if you look at what 9.4 now covers, there was a couple of standards that provided requirements on reporting information that was a bit very specific, but not explained very well. So what we did is to try to combine what those existing standards are and focus in on kind of that ongoing reporting process, which captures certain qualitative and quantitative information, but then also the process itself to be able to get additional information when need be. So that's probably one of the other changes from the current version to what we now have. So finally, there is still the annex in ICP-9, which is, I think, unique to this ICP. It provides examples that can be used for both offsite and onsite inspections. This avoids having the same guidance appear under two standards. There, I think it's some additional examples are provided in this round of revisions, but again, this is pretty much similar to what is already there in the existing ICP-9. So moving on to ICP-10, this is now preventive and corrective measures and sanctions. As the SMRTF reviewed ICPs 10 and 11, it became clear that a lot of the concepts that were used between these two ICPs were used interchangeably, but not consistently. And there's a lot of confusion as to kind of the spectrum of taking supervisory measures. And so we thought that rather than keep them separate, which seems somewhat artificial, we would combine them into one ICP. That kind of talks more about the process of going from preventive to corrective, and then eventually, if need be, taking sanctions. So that's why we have this new ICP-10. If you look at the principal statement, what it provides is that the supervisor requires and enforces preventive and corrective measures and imposes sanctions that are timely and necessary to achieve the objectives of insurance supervision, and that are based on clear objectives, consistent and publicly disclosed criteria. So considerations regarding the use of preventive and corrective measures and sanctions are part of, as part of the supervisory framework, are referred to in ICP 9.1. And again, the idea here is that kind of 9 and 10 work together as kind of a process. And then I guess maybe 12 as well as the very end of that process if everything goes wrong. So looking at the structure of the standards, so this is slide 17. There are now six standards for ICP-10. The first one requires action against an insurer conducting business without a license. Then 10.2 goes into preventive measures for supervisors if an insurer seems likely to operate in a manner that is inconsistent with regulatory requirements. And then you go to standard 10.3, which is on corrective measures for if they have operated in a manner that is inconsistent with requirements. So 10.4 requires supervisors to take action based off of the supervisor's concerns. And that the supervisor periodically checks to make sure that the insurer is taking action and to assess the effectiveness of those actions. 10.5 is about the escalation. So if the concerns are not being addressed adequately by the insurer, the supervisor has the ability to escalate those measures. And finally, 10.6 is on sanctions, which allows the supervisors to impose those where appropriate for breaches of regulatory requirements or other misconduct. So that's a summary of ICPs 9 and 10. So let me turn it over to Tom, who will talk about the ConFrame material that's been integrated into these two standards, or these two ICPs.
Yes, thank you very much, Ryan. And just to repeat the introduction that Urs gave, my name is Tom Crossland, and I chair the IAS's Insurance Group's Working Group. So we've looked at transferring material which was previously in the ConFrame Module 3 Elements 1 and 2, concerning mainly the group supervisory, there's a group-wide supervisory process, and relocating that material in ICPs 9 and 10. That has resulted in some changes in the style and structure of the material. And I think overall our main aim has been to improve the clarity and consistency of the language and terminology which we've used wherever we can. There is for the ConFrame material, in addition to the sort of clean documents on which we're consulting, a comparison table between the old modular format of ConFrame and the new integrated format into the ICPs. So that may help you navigate the material when you consider it. If I move on to slide 19, just to highlight some of the more substantive areas where the amendments we've made result in changes. The first thing to highlight, I think, is that for groups subject to ConFrame, in other words, internationally active insurance groups, where we're looking to set minimum standards for the nature of the group supervision which takes place, the first thing to note is that we do expect the group-wide risk assessment to be conducted at least annually for IAIGs. And then the material which we've introduced at ConFrame 9.2, the ConFrame material is obviously all in the blue boxes. This is a list of the elements which we expect to be covered as part of the group-wide risk assessment, and that is expanded compared to what was there before to try and provide more detail and clarity as to exactly what minimum level of scrutiny we expect supervisors to subject IAGs to. And I'd also mention in terms of a new standard that at ConFrame 9.4A, it's really just a placeholder at this stage, but since ICP9 covers reporting, we wanted to mention there the need to put in place arrangements through which the new capital standard, the ICS for IAIGs, would be reported to the relevant supervisors. There's then another block of material which has been introduced, which is all to do with recovery. So this is at ConFrame 10.3A, and it covers the need for recovery plans to be developed by IAIGs, the actions taken by IAIGs to recover, and the need to have management information systems in place which would support those recovery plans. Turning then to slide 20, here I'd like to highlight the introduction into ConFrame material of decisions which were taken by the IAS back in 2014, and this concerns the need to clearly be able to hold accountable for compliance with the standards introduced in Conframe, the head of the IAIG, and obviously in some cases groups will be structured in such a way that the parent of the head of the IAIG is not a insurance company itself, but it may be an unregulated financial holding company. Nonetheless, there is a need for the group-wide supervisor to be able to hold that entity accountable, and therefore a need to have direct powers at that level in the group so that the group-wide supervisor can take direct action, impose supervisory measures directly at that level in the group in all cases. I'm not sure that need is clearly understood. It's mentioned in two of the IAS's newsletters from April and July in 2014, and it's also mentioned in the Financial Stability Board's review on supervisory intensity and effectiveness. They did a progress report in April 2014, which mentions IAS's approach to this. But it's one of the areas where we particularly like your feedback, and therefore the questions accompanying the consultation package are more specific on this provision. The question, I think, is numbered 141 in the list of questions that accompany the consultation package. But what we're interested in is how specific we should be in the Conframe standards when we're identifying the nature of the supervisory measures which should be capable of being taken directly at the level of the head of the IAIG. Some examples of the types of supervisory measures which could be taken are included as guidance in the ICP material, that's at 10.2.5, but obviously as guidance and being in the ICP material rather than Conframe material, it's not they're not specific measures which have to be available to the group-wide supervisor. And it may be more appropriate to identify within the Conframe material specific measures which must be available rather than may be available to the group-wide supervisor at that level in the group. So they may be things like applying requirements to hold additional capital. There may be a wider range of things which are appropriate. In the material we've put out for consultation, we haven't been explicit about the types of supervisory measure which would be appropriate, but we'd very much like your feedback as to whether we should be clearer on this point. This issue crops up also later on in ICP 10. ICP 10 splits preventive corrective measures and sanctions out separately. So there is a similar issue which arises at Conframe Standard 10.6A, which deals with the sanctions which should be directly available to be applied at the head of the IAIG. And the same issue broadly arises, which is how specific should we be about the types of sanctions which we envisage being available. We mentioned there fines and penalties, but it's an area which you may also wish to comment. So that concludes what I want to add to Ryan's commentary on ICPs 9 and 10. So I'll hand back to Urs and the conference call operator to open the session up for questions.
Thank you very much to Tom and to Ryan for presenting ICP 9 and 10 and the integrated conference text. We are now coming to the second Q&A session, and I think from a logistical perspective, you can now dial star 14 to pose a question.
And we do, in fact, have a first question. Let me open that line. Thank you.
Hello, this is Bernie Birnbaum again. So ICP 10 talks about the authority and the ability of the supervisor to take corrective action, impose sanctions, et cetera. I did a search, did not find any reference to ICP 18 regarding intermediaries or ICP 19 regarding conduct of business. Has there been or is there any intent to incorporate conduct of business supervision within ICP 10, or what's the thought on that?
Thank you very much for this question, and I may actually take the first step, and then maybe I hand over to Ryan maybe to add to that. First of all, I would like to say that on the one hand, we try to avoid too many references within the ICPs. However, I think it's a very good question, and we are actually in the process of also looking at ICP 18 and 19 to revise them. So I think that has to be taken into consideration. Then when you will see that coming up later this year for a public consultation. And from that perspective, it might be not entirely, you can look at it from an entirely view to compare it right now. So maybe you need to then see once ICP 18 and 19, the revised versions are out. Ryan, maybe you can add something.
Sure, yeah. I mean, all the ICPs are, especially when it gets to supervisory processes and measures, so ICPs 9 and 10, they are supposed to apply to all the subject matters. They're not limited to any particular – they're not only about solvency or about governance or conduct of business. So these do apply to what's covered by 18 and 19. As mentioned, whether or not there's – a tie to those is something we can look at as that's revised. But as 10 was revised, in the current text of 10 and 11, there is some kind of topic-specific mentions that seem to give the perception that it only applies to certain areas of insurance supervision. So we did very consciously go through and try to make sure that it is neutral and that it's applicable to any type of misconduct or not following supervisory requirements, so that the measures are applicable in any situation. And I thought in some of the guidance under 10.2 that there is issues, and when we give examples of things that could be taken, that they are things that would be done in response to a conduct issue. So that is the intent.
Thank you.
We go to the next question. Thank you.
Yes, this is Michelle Rogers with the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies, and I have a couple of questions. First of all, on section 10.3, you noted that it addresses issues related to recovery planning, and what I was wondering is how will that be included, or how will that be incorporated into the changes to ICP 12? Is that limited to resolution? I thought that was resolution and recovery.
Thank you, Michelle, for this question. we have tried really to separate recovery and resolution, also because of the recovery is actually still the insurer in charge of the actions, whereas in resolution, it's then the supervisor who is in charge, or at least really has a close look at all the actions there. And that's the reason why we have separated recovery into ICP 10, and ICP 12 deals exclusively with resolution.
Okay, thank you. Now, this is a more general question on ComFrame, but you have mentioned that ComFrame is not going to be effective till 2019. What I'm wondering is, will there be additional opportunities for consultation on ComFrame other than this particular opportunity?
Yes, there will be. On the ComFrame, the idea would be to have an entire ComFrame consultation sometime next year, which includes also the whole ICS. But and also we have then to work, of course, also on the integration of the ICS into the ComFrame text. So there is an additional opportunity for that. But hopefully we can address all the substantive issues on the current text with this consultation.
Okay. Thank you so much.
At the moment, I have no more questions. Anybody with a question, please press star 14. Nope, no question.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. And with that, I think we can move to our third block, which deals with the supervisory cooperation and coordination. And I would like to hand back to Tom.
Thank you, Urs. Starting with ICP3 on information sharing and confidentiality requirements, and here I'd refer you to slide 23 in the pack. The main changes to ICP3 have really been to do with improving the clarity of the language and terminology. I think in large terms there's not been much sort of substantive change to the material. We have tried to separate out slightly more clearly when we're talking about exchanging information, which implies a sort of two-way mutual exchange, to separate that out into a more granular process where it's clearer that one supervisor is requesting some information and another supervisor is responding to that request and providing the information. And we hope that that then makes it easier to follow in terms of the criteria that have to be met in order for that information to flow. Apart from that, then we've looked at removing overlaps between ICP 3 and 25. In terms of sharing information, then that's obviously closely related to supervisory cooperation and coordination, which is the topic of ICP 25. And we found a lot of areas where the material was overlapping, and in particular, requirements to do with professional secrecy have now been confined to ICP3 and removed from ICP25, and that reduces the volume of material and makes it easier to navigate, I think. There's then more clarity on the basis on which information is exchanged between supervisors. In particular, we have highlighted the need to have in place appropriate bilateral or multilateral agreements to facilitate information sharing and to cover the confidentiality requirements associated with that, and to try and emphasize the IAS's preference that the IAS multilateral memorandum of understanding is a appropriate framework for underpinning information exchange. We've also then made some slight changes to the material where information is provided from one supervisor to another supervisor, and then that supervisor in turn is asked or wishes to provide that information onwards to a third supervisor or another sort of relevant authority that has a legitimate interest in that information. And we've tried to make it clearer that where onward sharing of information is in question, then the consent of the original providing supervisor should be sought before onward provision of that information to somebody else. We've also then tried to provide a little more clarity and explanation as to what we mean by the two criteria that govern exchanging information. That is that the supervisor asking for the information should have both a legitimate interest in asking for it and a valid supervisory purpose to which he's going to put that information. So there is more detail in 3.31 and 3.32 that elaborates those concepts. If I turn now to ICP 25, and here I'm on slide 24 in the pack. ICP 25 has been really quite significantly reorganized and shortened. I think the current version runs to something like 35 pages. The new version, even including conframe material that's been inserted, runs to 17 pages. So we've cut roughly in half the amount of material which users of the ICPs need to read. And we think that that will make it much easier to use. Where we've cut material out, then we would point people towards the IAS's application paper on the functioning of colleges, which provides, if you like, that extra layer of detail which we don't think is necessary to retain in the ICPs themselves. Then the other major sort of change to ICP 25 has been to take material from ICP 26, which dealt with cross-border cooperation in a sort of crisis management situation. That ICP is being sort of split up and moved in part into ICP 25 and then in part into, I guess, ICP 12 or areas which deal with other areas of crisis management. So the way in which ICP 25 is structured now is to provide for the identification of the group-wide supervisor and to set out what his main responsibilities are, to explain the involvement of other supervisors involved in a insurance group, to explain the coordination arrangements that need to be in place as a sort of general framework, and one of those ways in which coordination can be achieved is the establishment of a supervisory college. And so we also then explain what the functions of a supervisory college would be, and And lastly, IC25, as I said, deals with the preparatory work for crisis management and how cooperation ought to proceed during a crisis. So that's ICP sort of in general terms. Now, within ICP 25, there is also Conframe material which has been integrated, and this is drawn largely from Module 3, Element 2 of the old Conframe style. Again, we're changes that have been made to the ICP, the Conframe material are largely there for clarity of language and terminology. We do, in particular, note that when going through the process of deciding who the appropriate group-wide supervisor should be, then, as I referred to earlier when we were discussing ICPs 9 and 10, the need to have direct powers available at the head of the IIG is a factor which then should be taken into account when deciding who the appropriate group-wide supervisor is. Not that it is determinative, it's just one of the factors which becomes relevant. As I said, we've removed any overlaps, and that includes the material relating to the organization of supervisory colleges. But the point to emphasize with the Conframe material is that unlike other insurance groups, internationally active insurance groups that are subject to Conframe must have a college established, whereas other groups could have coordination arrangements in place which don't rely on a college being established. There's then material which discusses the need for ongoing communication and information exchange within the colleges. And we've also incorporated some of the recovery and resolution material that relates to planning for crises, and it's a requirement for IIGs that a crisis management group be established. That could be the same group of participants in a college, but it may need to be different because crisis planning may involve other authorities than just the insurance supervisors. So that, I think, covers the main areas that I'd like to highlight in ICPs 3 and 25, and I'll hand back again to Urs to coordinate the question and answer session.
Thank you very much, Tom, for giving us the overview on ICP 3 and 25 and including the associated Conframe text of ICP 25. With that, we are coming to our last question and answer session and would like to ask if you have any questions.
So far we have no question. Anybody with a question, please press star 14 on your telephone keypad. We do have a first question. Go ahead.
Hello. Dave Snyder again. Thank you again very much for this very helpful background information. Let me just clarify the answer that was given to an earlier question. With regard to further consultation on the Conframe provisions, what I understood you to say is that there would be a further consultation before they're finally approved to include the ICS. So my first question, is that the correct understanding? And then secondly, with regard to the changes in the ICPs, is this the only consultation period before they would be subject to approval at the general meeting in 2017. Thank you again very much for this helpful background information.
Thank you, Dave, for your question. And let me first touch on Conframe. Here we will have a second possibility. to put it into context, the idea is to adopt ComFrame, including ICS, in November 2019 to implement it in as of 1st of January 2020. And for enabling us to do that, we intend to have a public consultation on ComFrame, including ICS, sometime in 2018. In respect of the ICPs, as you have heard in the first part of this call, the way we are dealing with the adoption and implementation of ICP is that because of the interrelations with ComFrame and the look and feel may change, and to also to achieve more consistency, we will actually not adopt these ICPs at the AGM before actually the ComFrame text is final. I.e., that means the intention is to adopt by the AGM these ICPs only in November 2019. However, the executive committee is planned to actually agree on these ICPs this November, in November 2017, on all those ICPs which we are now consulting, and they will be put onto the website with a corresponding comment that they are there but not actually adopted by the AGM, which also means that they are not yet due to be integrated in financial sector assessment programs by the IMF and World Bank. That allows us, if needed, to change ICP text or numbering when integrating further ComFrame text. However, it is not intended to have an additional consultation of those ICP texts. I hope that clarifies.
It does. Thank you very much.
I have no other question at the moment. Those with a question, please press star 14, please.
Because it's quiet, I would almost assume there are no further questions, which maybe there was just too much material to digest for all of you, or taking the second, which I prefer, that we did such a great job explaining everything in detail to you. But nevertheless, I would like to encourage you to study all ICP and ComFrame material in detail, and participate in the public consultation. We very much would look forward to receiving as many as possible comments in order actually to broaden our view and to have a thorough discussion on all the different views in order to actually getting to standards and guidance which are well respected and effective for the supervision in the insurance sector. So I think that's the last chance for putting a question forward.
I still have no question.
Okay. Then if there are no further questions, I would like to close today's call. As mentioned in the introduction, we will perform a second public background session on the public consultation package on the revised ICPs and ComFrame specific material on coming Monday, 20th of March 2017, again from 2 o'clock Central European time forwards. This call will then focus on governance and resolution. I would like to thank you for your participation in today's call and for your questions, and wish you all a nice day. Thank you very much.